Hi, my name is Alex Keon, and thank you for tuning in to Mentor Moments. I've personally been fortunate to have a great mentor in my life who has literally changed the trajectory of my career. However, I know that not every young person will have that same opportunity or experience. That's why I've created this podcast, to give you rare access to executives and leaders who will share insightful advice to help you on your personal and professional growth journeys. So joining us this episode is Christiana Yebra, the CEO of Vouch, a Dallas-grown dating app founded by Bachelorette alum Sean Lowe. Christiana is a recognized thought leader on everything about millennial business and culture and frequently champions causes related to women's empowerment, especially in STEM-related fields. Christiana, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
So I always like to start off these interviews by letting the listeners get to know a little bit more about you. So what did you want to be when you were growing up?
Oh boy. Well, if it wasn't something sports related, for most of my life, I thought I'd be a figure skater and then realized I'm the least athletic of my whole family. I actually took a big interest in forensic science. I think a lot of kids did. And so for many, many years, I thought that I wanted to be a forensic scientist, like the ones on Forensic Files. That was my big vision, pretty much until, I guess, probably middle school.
And so at what point did you realize you were on this path to becoming an executive?
To be honest, I didn't really know that that was my pathway, probably until I was appointed as an executive just in the last 2 years. I loved science. I've always had an interest in it. But then getting into high school, I had traveled and moved a lot as a kid. And as many people listening probably would know, that it just causes you to have to transition quite a bit. You lose focus because you're being bounced between. I come from a military background, so I did 6 schools in 6 years sometimes. And with that comes a lot of confusion, not just about how you fit into a new school and make friends, but, you know, how do you stay on top of your studies? And I kind of fizzled out my interest in science fizzled out a bit when I was in, you know, kind of end of middle school. And you know, I had a really fantastic teacher in high school who encouraged me to go back into science and try the pre-medical route. And I had a really big interest in ER and trauma, and I worked in those fields. And then, long story short, ended up meeting a really cool team behind, you know, a dating app, and they were looking for a CEO. And I had never, even though I had started companies, I'd never really identified as an executive, or I never really had titles. I was a founder, if that, but really never focused on the title. So it was really cool to have somebody actually see that in me and draw that out of me. So it wasn't, I mean, I think about that maybe just 3 years ago, if you had asked me that I'd have a business card with a title that said CEO, I would probably have laughed at you.
Well, that certainly is a non-conventional path, but it sounds like your journey just prepared you to be a very adaptable person, which I imagine is crucial in startups and the line of work that you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a big piece of it is, you know, entrepreneurship is always based on risk and an assumed volume of transition, you know, whether that's between your companies or between working with other businesses. And my military background, which at first I used to kind of be upset with my parents for having to pluck us out of schools and friendships that we loved, and to move every 3-4 years. To be honest, the first place I lived longer than 4 years was here in Texas when we landed here 2003. And so now, thinking I've lived here over 15 years seems like a lifetime compared to where I'd been before. But you're absolutely right. The transitional kind of nature of the military really trained me for, you know, I didn't know that it'd become entrepreneurship, but that it translated nicely.
Really interesting that you're touching on this point of, you know, losing friendships and having to kind of start all over. One thing I think would be helpful for listeners is, you know, drawing on those experiences and your expertise and just connecting young people through Vouch, what do you think are some secrets to actually making lasting connections with other people?
That's a question that I think everybody has, even if you've been in the networking scene or in the business scene for a while. The big thing, the big word you're throwing in there is meaningful and long lasting connections. And I run a dating app, so it's very hard for me to not find ways to turn really every interview into something around dating themes. But, you know, networking is really not that much unlike dating. It's all about intention, and going into an event just because is never an approach that I have ever taken. I've always been thoughtful with attending an event, a networking setting, or even going into a business meeting. I mean, we've all been there. It goes back to planning and intention. And even if you're a high school student connecting with a college student and getting some insight and advice, go in with a plan and then kind of decide what you're hoping to get out of it. And then at the same time, and this plays into the long lasting and kind of more interactive relationships you can build, is be ready to try and offer something in return. And a lot of times, you know, when I first got into the startup scene, I didn't really have much to offer anybody. I literally was working ER shifts overnight and then showing up to a networking event on no hours of sleep. And I didn't have a business necessarily that was ready to help people. I didn't have the connections that I have now. And I was just more prepared to just be somebody who was a pleasure to be around and to be kind, and knowing that in the future, I would hope that I could offer them something. So I think that to bullet that, it's all about intention and going in with a strategy, and then thinking how, if someone's able to support you, how you may be able to support them down the road.
That's some great advice. And I know thoughtfulness has kind of been an underlying theme in all your responses. And I think one area that a lot of people aren't necessarily that thoughtful about is their personal brand, especially as it relates to their social media. So as an expert in social media and personal branding, what are some ways you think that young people can use social media to elevate their personal brands, especially keeping in mind that employers often look at that nowadays?
Well, and it's happening, I think, really now more than ever, maybe, is using social as a verification tool almost. I think a lot of times people will look at your LinkedIn. Hopefully you have one. And if not, they default to anything they can find associated to your name. And something that I crack up about thinking about this nightmare, if you will, I remember several years ago, right when I was just really getting into the startup business scene, I remember searching my own name, and I have a relatively unique name. So I imagine there weren't going to be a lot of Christiana Yebras popping up. When I Googled my own name, my Vine account, RIP to Vine, was the first thing that popped up under my name. Not any listing of me at my university, not any work I'd done, not any PR or media. And I thought, oh, that's not reflective of who I am. It was absolutely not reflective of my brand. So I took a step back and thought, oh my gosh, what do I need to do to make sure that not just when someone Googles me, that they, one, find something relevant to what I am accomplishing or working on, but that actually is reflective of who I am offline. I think there's a really large emphasis to look a certain way online, but if you don't see that person offline, then it can cause confusion. It can cause lack of trust. And so what I've done, and my best piece of encouragement, is whether it's a podcast and whether you listen to this one or the dozens of others I've done recently, I'm pretty much the same. My message is the same. My goals are the same, and my messages that I'm advocating are really the same, you know, spun with a different twist per audience. But if you go read my websites or my blog or you look at my Instagram, I'm doing the same thing. It's consistency across the board. What I have done is, you know, planned that, and I made assumptions that anything I do is going to be seen publicly. I think, you know, I take that into consideration when it comes to looking for new opportunity, but I also think about safety. And that's something I would, you know, encourage others to do, is really audit how much information you're also putting out there, being protective of what it is you do put out there, making sure it hits the objectives of, you know, if you're looking to be a motivational speaker one day, it's probably not going to look great if your Instagram is filled with inappropriate memes and bad videos. You know, you should be posting things that are reflective of what it is you want to do down the way. So when it comes to personal brand, I would just be careful with not only what you're putting out there, but making sure that it reflects who you are offline as well. And then please don't let your Vine account be the first thing that shows up on Google.
Doing a Google check is a great piece of advice, and I think that's a really interesting way to just get a sense of how other people are likely going to view you and think about you without having the opportunity to meet you in person first. So since it is 2020, we've all been faced with so many challenges this year, and I want to take a moment to talk about adversity. Whether it's a personal matter that you're dealing with or something as massive as the pandemic, what are ways that you overcome adversity that you may come across?
There are a lot of things. I think we've got to bucket them into challenges that are happening to us each individually, personally, and then larger, you know, economic and business focused things. As an example, Vouch was in this really fantastic trajectory to close several $100,000 of venture capital to grow the product. And in looking at the pandemic, really where we were closing in on things in March and April, or hoping to, these companies came back and said, we're actually not going to put cash into businesses into 2021. We're trying to conserve. We're trying to invest in health. We're trying to, you know, see if we can be problem solvers for this pandemic. And that was really, really tough. You've got something, you know, a virtual product that should be flourishing and thriving and raising a ton of money. And that wasn't actually the case. So we had to get really creative with what we were going to do to, you know, be conservative on cash, make sure that we were taking care of our team and our daters, but provide something that looked compelling or was compelling to a potential investor. Say, hey, we actually have a virtual platform, but we are now doing virtual events. We're now offering virtual dating consulting or whatever it may be. We went and invested heavily in how we could expand on the virtual nature of our platform because our users were already very familiar with it. And then personally, I think something that we all need to think about is that we're all really in a challenging spot and not feeling too vulnerable to be honest about that. I just saw a really fantastic interview with Dak Prescott. Maybe this is a day or two ago. And here you have the quarterback of America's football team, and someone on the news called him really the CEO of football because he's looked at as a leader for the Cowboys and as the whole league. And here he is admitting that he's struggled really deeply with depression and anxiety, especially around his brother's passing. And it was called weak by some. And I thought that was really interesting to hear that they would say that. But the overwhelming majority of people were saying, wow, look at somebody who's in this position where absolutely, could this be seen as a weakness? Maybe. But could it also be seen as something really powerful and full of strength for him to say that, knowing he's a very public person, knowing his career and his contract numbers are very publicly highlighted. And I thought that was really incredible. And I hope that people look at that and think this isn't an easy time for people in business. It's not an easy time to be looking for a new job. I feel very much sympathetic and empathetic to people who are either graduating right now or making a huge shift in their, you know, industry because it is challenging. But not being afraid to ask for help. You know, going back to the mentorship piece, yes, people are busy, but I'm watching people open up their schedules and open up their ears and their time to support in ways that aren't money, that it's energy.
Well, thank you for stressing the importance of reaching out and asking for help in the middle of this difficult time and even beyond that. Of course, being a podcast about mentorship, we totally advocate for getting guidance whenever you need it. And finally, if you could recommend one person, book, or podcast that you think young people could really benefit from, who or what would it be and why?
Oh gosh, there are so many that I love. I think if I could go back to just getting started in my career and maybe not knowing where I wanted to land, I really have loved How I Built This for a podcast. I think it's a great way to see the companies you've engaged with and used and played around with or purchased from. It's a great way to hear those stories of how people got started, the challenges that they've experienced. I think the episode around Peloton was one of my favorites. Bumble's got a great background too. So How I Built This would be a great one. And then one of my favorite people to look at, you can actually watch him on a show, but I think reading about him is great too, is Marcus Lemonis, is a billionaire businessman who takes what I call kind of a common sense approach to business. And it really gives you, no matter really what industry you're looking at, or maybe you're just trying to solve a problem, he's done a really great job of showing small and I guess really large businesses of how to just take a look at your team, take a look at your product, and take a look about how you're able to be profitable by remaining true to your core values and your core offerings that you have. And he's been really fascinating to watch. He has a show called The Profit on CNBC, but if you follow him on social, I think he's put out a lot of really great blogs. He's one that I really wish I would have come across sooner in my career. He's a great, great individual to look at. But I will also preface something that I took some time to think about when you sent over this question. A lot of people doing the most impactful and most successful work in business are often not the ones talking about it. They're not on podcasts. They're not always writing books until probably later in their career. They're busy doing. So I would challenge people to do some research, and rather than rely on a podcast, is look at the history of, Ford Motor Company is one that I spent a lot of time researching their trials and tribulations they went through, and then the ultimate success. A lot of times you've got to dig in and kind of put yourself through your own history class and look at the ins and outs of businesses that you've been paying attention to. They may not have a podcast or a book that you can read, but you can really uncover a lot about the value of human capital as well as the financial side of things through research.
I love that really unique piece of advice. And that's a really great point. I think that is something that all young people should feel encouraged to do, is learn from others.
Yeah. And you know what? I will also mention, you know, I used to host my group millennial clubs. I used to get questions all the time. Well, what if I'm not a millennial? Can I still attend this event, or can I still learn something? Or can I still participate on your panel if I'm older? I had an 80-year-old Hispanic executive who literally swam across basically a canal to get to the United States. And he told more of the most impactful stories and lessons in business than some of my, you know, millennial panelists. So I would empower people to really look at the generations ahead of them, and then even pay attention who's coming up right behind. We have a lot to learn from each other. And I will say the one thing I am grateful for during this time is the ability to slow down a little bit and to listen a lot more than I might have had time for in the past.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Christiana, and allowing us to learn from you.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for having me on the show. And I'm excited to see this roll out. I guess the podcast to listen to is this one right here.
Thank you all for tuning in to this episode of Mentor Moments. And I hope you'll join us on the next episode to continue your growth journey. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and follow us on Instagram @MyMentorMoments.